Ezekiel's Wheel. How's everybody doing today? God, I love this song, man. Have you heard this new Adele song? Go Easy on Me. This is for my best friend, 30 years. And if you're listening, Meredith, this is for you. I understand where you're coming from. God gave me this song for you for a week. I want you to go back and listen to the song if you hear this, Mare. Sometimes we don't always understand what people are going through when they're going through it. And sometimes as ministers, we're called to walk a fine line in the gray. And I'm going to get into that in today's session. That was supposed to have faded out a little bit better than that. I apologize. But welcome to the 15-Minute Rev, everybody. And again, that goes to my best friend, Mare. So if you're listening, Mare, God gave me that song for you. When we think we understand people, we think we know everything about everybody without understanding the pathways that they've walked on. And unless you've walked a mile in another person's shoes, don't judge them. Don't judge them. Be quick to have grace instead of judgmental attitudes, because the judgmental attitude comes from a spirit of religion, which leads me right into today's topic. It's interesting because this new place that God has the body stepping into, and I didn't recognize it at first, but he's taking us back to the basics of love. If you haven't realized that, I mean, he's taking us back and he's bringing us out of being clanging cymbals back into the truth of love. A new place, that thin gray line where people sometimes judge you for the friends you have or judge you because of maybe the way God's using you to minister and the people that he has you ministering to. So this is actually for my best friend, Mary, today. And I do understand what you're walking, because I've walked there for a long, long time. And so anyhow, pray for my friend. She has got a hard journey ahead of her. She has an affinity for the homeless, and God is allowing her to be like the prophets of old, where she's called to live amongst the homeless so she can develop the ministry and the testimony. But I'm praying for her. And so if we're quick to judge and not quick to have grace, be careful lest you be judged. Be careful what you judge, because it could easily be you in that position being tested like that from the Lord. So I just wanted to know that if she's listening to this today. But anyway, welcome. We're going to jump on into the message today. I'm Dr. Missy Hood with the 15-Minute Rev. And the message today is based out of Ezekiel 44:1-45:12. And when I started doing this message today, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, you know, who am I? Did I do something wrong, kind of a thing? But I really believe it was God. And I had to repent. I'm not going to lie. I had to repent and ask the Lord, Lord, did I do something wrong? Have I sinned against you in any way? Because I always start with myself first in any time I feel convicted about anything, because that's where you always want to start, because change always starts from the inside out. But Ezekiel 44:1-45:12 speaks about how God is moving through the new temple. If you're a front runner, your temple has been, for one, God's called you. Whom he calls, he qualifies. So if people try to discount you or disqualify you, that's usually because of their own hang-ups or jealousies and insecurities or whatever other spirit is driving them. It's not love. But the new temple that God has rebuilt the last 30 years, if you're a frontrunner, you've gone through hellacious testings, trials to get you ready for this moment, to get you ready for the thin gray line, to get you ready for the people that he's fixing to yank back across it into love. And if you're operating in the law or in a spirit of religion, you're not going to be very usable. Matter of fact, you're probably going to be something that people want to spew out, kind of like the Lord does. He wants to spew you out because you're not really committed to anything. You're not committing to having to change or be changed. You're not committed to anybody but yourself, really, if you're operating in that place, because religion is all about the self. It's all flesh-based. That's truth. That's Jezebel-based. It's sterile love. It's not the warm, unconditional love of Christ, because love will cost you something if you're operating in the warm love of Jesus. That's my experience, at least. Love has always cost me something. It's always cost me the risk of getting my heart broken from broken people. It's always cost me having to take a risk on people that other people deem least likely to succeed. But it cost me something. It cost me something. You want to know why It cost you something because it cost you to step out into places that most people are too afraid to walk in. Pardon me. They're too afraid that their character will be tarnished, or what other people are afraid of what other people will think about them if they take a chance, or if they dare to believe and go where no man has gone before. Basically, we're getting back to where we started, but just at a higher level of love, a deeper level. 1 Peter 1:22. So if you don't know love, you don't know God. And if you're afraid of taking a risk, you won't go forward. That's all I'm going to tell you. But Ezekiel depicts how God's moving through the new temple right now. And he was called by God to head up how God wanted the new temple to be run. Notice how God said, and if you go read those scriptures, he said, not your temple, but it's my temple, my sanctuary. We're not our own. We were bought with a price. So we need to quit being territorial and acting like we can act like any way we want, because we don't own our own temples, nor the gifts, nor the callings, nor the holy things that are inside within it. We don't own them. They're on loan to us. So if we're adamant about doing things our own way, chances are there's not going to be much glory or a lot of anointing on your contents of your temple. So when the enemy comes in to try to pervert or destroy or vandalize our temples, he's not coming at us. He's coming at God himself. What do I mean by that? A lot of people, I didn't do a witchcraft portion before, but I'm going to jump into it now for the intercessors. A lot of the intercessors, the true intercessors of God, the true front runners right now, are experiencing a lot of persecution, which was actually prophesied over me by a prophet, Prophet Taylor, probably about 3 weeks ago. He said, your vessel's fixing to enter into tremendous persecution. And I thought, oh, God, okay. And here we are, but I now know why. I didn't understand why at the time, but I do now. But it's because God has me preaching the hard, cold truth about the spirit of religion versus the true and warm and conditional love of Jesus. And I don't care how long you've been behind a pulpit, and I'm not picking on leaders. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care how long you've been a Christian or how long you think you've been saved. I could care less, because your actions and your heart will find you out. If you live in hypocrisy, and I'm not saying you have to be perfect, because that's not what this is about, because definitely none of us are. But if we're so quick to think we've arrived and that we've got it all down pat, we are deceiving ourselves. Sincerely, you are deceiving yourself if you think that you're superior over other people. And by the way, confidence in Christ is not arrogance. Don't mistake the two. Don't mistake the two. I'm very confident in what my Christ can do. I've seen him operate. I'm very confident. And I know it probably irritates some people. That's pride. No, it's confidence. I just have high faith. I have a gift of faith. That's what my mentor, Dr. Clarice Fluitt, told me at one time. And I just have seen the miracle working power of Christ, of a loving God, and how he takes the least likely to succeed and he lifts them up like he did the Davids. And he gives them the 5 smooth stones to hit the Goliaths. And he convinces them. You're worthy. You're worthy. Despite the arrogance of man. And you know, it's sad. It's so sad in today's time how arrogant the church has become. And I can feel his heart right now. He's grieved. He's grieved. This is not me. I'm not a crier, by the way. I'm not mushy, touchy-feely at all. I'm very stern as far as my walk with the Lord. But he's grieved by the condition of the temple and by the condition of the church. But we don't own our temples. And when the priests and the Levites forget that their temples are the house of God, or they think they can do anything they wish, not only to their own temple, but to the temple of God and others, they begin to run into judgment. We cannot do in these temples nor to others what we please. We can't. We're all held accountable for the way that we deal with Christ within our vessels, if we even know him. If you even know him. Because none of us ever get away with anything in this life. Galatians 6:7, we reap what we sow. You think you're getting away with something. You think you're being superior. You think you're being so holy, when in reality, it's false humility. That's what religion operates in, is false humility, a Jezebelian spirit. I'm more superior than you. I'm better than you. I'm above you because I've been in church longer, because I've been serving longer. Forget that crap. That does not fly here. God's all about the heart. He's all about the heart. He did it for David, where he raised David up above Saul. If you remember, Saul lost his kingdom, and because he was a religious Pharisee, he chose to do things that were right in his own eyes. He operated in witchcraft when he sought out the witch of Endor. Remember that? That just came out of my spirit. That's free. It wasn't written here. But it's a privilege to minister for the Lord. It's a privilege to walk with the Lord. When we behave any way we choose, again, it's okay to have flaws. But when we behave any way we choose, we give those rights and blessings of serving God away. He has to draw back. He will not be where sin is. So you lose power. And the Lord is saying, never lose the wonder of belonging to God or being asked to serve Him by taking your positions of serving Him for granted, which lead to sin. They lead to sin. Pride goes before a fall. Superiority goes before a fall. False humility goes before a fall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. He sat on a wall. He thought he was bigger and tall or whatever it goes. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. I forgot the rhyme of that. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put him back together again because he thought he was better and bigger than God. He thought he was God. Whose mindset was that? That was Satan, perhaps? Are you of that? Is that your father? So no matter how long we've served the Lord, don't ever take it for granted. It's all about who you're connected to in this hour. It's all about whose heart you represent. But unfaithfulness in service can lead to a loss of being asked to serve the Lord, while faithfulness can lead to drawing God near in order to serve Him at greater levels. Humility takes you a long way in this hour. Humility will take you a long way. Because the Lord is looking for warm, loyal, loving hearts. Even though we're flawed, even though we're cracked, we have imperfections. These are the ones He can use in this hour. Because we know we'll never be perfect. We've already come to that conclusion. We're okay with being ourselves. We're okay being flawed. I'm okay with my imperfections. Matter of fact, I love the fact that I've got these little glitches and these imperfections. You want to know why? Because they give me conversation pieces when I step up into other people's lives to talk to them about Christ, to talk about what He's done in my life and what He continues to do and how He continues to heal and set free and how He can minister to you. And it's okay to be. It's okay to have imperfections. It's okay to have fallen short of the glory. It's okay. It's okay. Because I know I haven't arrived. I never will until I get home to be with Him. And only then will I be home. This is not my home. And some of the things that we've done at lower levels, this is the thing, is we've entered into this new place, by the way, as of 2 weeks ago. They're not allowed at the higher levels. You notice the shift and the witchcraft got really strong 2 weeks ago, and it's been that way. It's because we're head to head with the devil right now, heading out of the old into the new. The one thing you don't want to do is be caught with your thinking that you're above Him, your throne is higher than His. You're seated beside Him, not in His throne. Don't seat yourself on His throne. He'll kick your butt out if you're not careful. But we know who we are and whose we are. And we also recognize when God is telling us, hey, you've hit a new level. I need you to clean some things up. We recognize when He's telling us these things. And it applies to all temples who want to go higher. It applies to all people who want to go higher. Let me break it down. So the priests then, the leaders then, had to be careful what they wore, what they ate, what they drank. Because how could they lead effectively and discern if they themselves didn't practice it right? We don't want to be hypocrites, right? So I think personally, this is me talking, because of the world we live in, that many of us have been serving God for such a long time that we can get into the mode of taking our walks for granted. We can get into the mode of taking our positions in Christ for granted, thinking, oh, I've been doing this for so long. I haven't been doing anything wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. I've been serving God all my life. Da, 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 da. I know more than you. I'm older. Well, let me just tell you something. If you think you know more than God, I had a little nephew who was a three-year-old at one point, and I was 19 or 20-something, 20 in my 20s, and God brings wisdom out of the mouth of babes. Don't assert yourself up so high that you can be knocked off the wall, Humpty. You don't want to have a great fall. I'm not trying to be crass or rude. I'm being blunt. God is tired of this. There's so much work to be done right now, and he's trying to get the warm, unconditional, loving people into position. And he's trying to herd the sheep into this specific location to where there's going to be a huge, huge propelling forward, but also revival pouring out with a heavy-duty anointing that's coming. It's already happening for those who've already been getting into position. And for those, what I'm noticing is the most of the persecution coming is from those looking from the outer courts. They're stuck in the outer courts. They don't want to step into the inner courts where it costs them something, because stepping in means that they have to change or be changed, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. So I think that we have a tendency sometimes to take our walks for granted, kind of like America has with regard to its protections, blessing, and favor. But that mindset of taking someone for granted or a God for granted, a holy God for granted, can really get us into a bad situation. It can. Where many people don't want to hear truth. They don't want to be corrected or reminded of their shortcomings. Pardon me. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this. You know, when God tells me something, I don't always like it. Matter of fact, it scares me. It's like, I don't know if I like what I'm hearing right now. But if I really want to accelerate, I have to listen. I have to make myself admit a few things about myself if I want to go higher. And the conversation gets even better as we move deeper into it. It's not always condemning and God's trying to tell us what we're doing wrong. This is not what this is all about. I believe in this whole year where God has been talking against the spirit of religion, against the spirit of religion, against the spirit of religion, it's because he wants freedom for us. He wants us to get free. He wants us to come back to the basics of love. But if we don't like to be corrected, we don't like to be reminded of our shortcomings, we're not going to go too far. Because life has been so hard. I believe this happens because life has been so hard up until now that people just, they just want to be left alone. But if you stay in that position of being left alone, you get stagnant. I'm serious. I feel like you get stagnant. You get stuck in stagnant waters. People, you're open to any jot and tittle or anybody that crosses your path. You get into profit hopping. You get into all these things because you just kind of lost your way, which means you're open to anything that crosses your path. You're open to any line of truth that crosses your path. God said, how will you recognize my people, even if in truth, by the warm, unconditional love of Jesus? People that track with me on here, usually they track because they resonate. They resonate with the truth and it bears witness. The Spirit bears witness. So they're drawn. People draw to themselves. People like themselves. So I like people that are truth people. I like people that are straightforward and they're quick to tell me, oh, Missy, I don't know if that's God or not. That's what my mentors do for me, at least. That's what my true friends do for me. They hold me accountable. Do your friends hold you accountable? Or are they yes men? They tell you what you want to hear because you think you've arrived and you intimidate people so much that they don't feel like they can tell you the truth for fear of offending you or losing your friendship. My friends don't. They'll pin my ears back like that, and I love them for it. And that's how we're used in each other's lives. Better are the wounds of a friend than the wounds of an enemy. But I believe that right now we have a group of people groups, and it's like Kurt Landry had stated that there are three people groups that think they're going into the new place, but they're not. These are the three people groups that are causing the most persecution right now. They think they're saved. Some of them are, but they're carnal. The first two people groups are not, I believe. I don't believe they are. Because God said, how will you know my people? By my love. Not the apparatus of religion. Not sterility or sterility. And for the people group, the fourth group that Kurt Landry was talking about, that group that was just going to trust the Lord and say, God, we don't know where you're taking us, but we're going. We're going. We're going to follow you because we love you. I believe that's the group that's going to get all the treasure. That's going to get all the prize and all the anointing. I really believe that. And it's the vessel that wants to continue on in its journey that chooses to change and be changed and face its shortcomings in order to keep climbing. That's the group that's going to go higher. Is that you? And although the pathway has been difficult, we have to stay faithful to complete the job that God has given us to do. Like the priest, some vessels cannot do what others can do in order to remain in God's presence. We heard about that with the Levitical priest, But at the same time, I want to stress this to everybody. And I learned this again from a less mature person. But again, God can speak out of the mouth of babes if he wants. I was trying to tell them something that God asked me to do. And they told me, they said, Dr. Hood, your convictions aren't my convictions. That's correct. That's correct, which I'd like to share with you. Your convictions may not be someone else's convictions. So who do we think we are when we go around trying to place those expectations on people? So like the priest, some vessels can't do what others can do in order to remain in God's presence. But again, we need to remember that your convictions may not be my convictions. And we're seeing these bad heart conditions all over the place right now. We're seeing them in leadership. We're seeing them in the flock itself, in society, which actually, if it's in the church, it makes us no different from society. Because even in correcting, love corrects in a way that's not ever evil. It tells us the truth in a way that makes us feel accepted, makes us known, that lets us know that it's okay to be, it's okay to make mistakes. You're still loved. You're not condemned. But it never tries to destroy or sabotage or do these evil things that these three groups that I'm telling you about that think they're going forward are doing right now in this hour. It's easy to depict the truth from a lie in this hour. That's what God is doing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God is allowing all the witchcraft to manifest. He's allowing these three people groups to manifest in it, whether they're in the church or not, to help the true remnant discern the truth from a lie. He's separating. It's a further separating. It's a way of completing the separating the wheat from the chaff. He's letting us see who's who through their heart condition. God said, how will you know my people? By my love. By my love. So even in correcting, love corrects in a way that's not ever evil. It's not abusive. It doesn't condemn. It doesn't put people down. It tells you the truth, kind of like what I'm trying to do here right now. But a heart of love tries to correct correctly. The abusive heart tries to correct through religion or Jezebel, or it tries to force its own will and convictions onto others, is nothing more than a religious clanging cymbal making a lot of noise. A heart that tries to force its own ways on others without having relationship or mentorship is a heart that's nothing more than the devil trying to act like God over others. When we are not that vessel's child, nor are they our God. I don't submit to the devil. I won't ever submit to Jezebel or spirit of religion. That's committing treason. So how dare you try to place that on me? I will not wear your armor, Saul. And I'm Jesus' child for him to discipline. So if you are that clanging cymbal trying to force someone into your own ways and convictions and the spirit of religion and how you worship God, then you need to mind your own business in your own temple. Because I only speak what I hear my Father speaking, and I've got a great relationship with him. So if God hasn't told me to speak a thing, I don't bother people. I just observe. I speak it here on this show, and I ask that God send in those who need to hear the message, but I'm always hoping those hearts will see my heart towards them. My heart is pure in trying to deliver the message. My heart is, I don't have any hidden agendas. I'm not needing to push an agenda. I'm not needing to push God on people. If they're ready to hear it, the seed will be planted. But the bottom line is if I don't have a relationship with people that need healing, I leave them alone unless God gives me a prophetic word for them otherwise. But that's a rarity because I've found that God the Father likes to deal with his own children himself first. That's just respectfulness and courtesy, which any good parent would do. A prophet and apostle is only used when that child or vessel refuses to listen. So until then, I mind my own business. And I also want to bring up another point. It's one thing when we sin, but still have a heart for love or for God or his true ways, but a completely different thing to operate in a completely different spirit, i.e. Jezebel or the spirit of religion or Antichrist, in an attempt to label our ways God's way. That won't ever be so. Because Jezebel's cold love will not ever be God's way of dealing with people, nor will God ever try to force anyone's will. That's sterility, it's sterile religion, and it's all about man's perverse thinking. Trying to call his way God's way, especially in the courtrooms of heaven. And you'll get your butt in a sling in a New York minute in the courtrooms of heaven. Because the Bible clearly states in Job 34:12, of a truth, God will not ever do wickedly. And the Almighty will not ever pervert justice. He has balanced scales. So for the perverse heart walking into the courtrooms of heaven, trying to operate in an unholy speaking spirit or Jezebelian as a Jezebelian eunuch or through the occult, or as a wicked king or a wicked priest trying to convince God to activate its own wicked edicts. You're one who's presenting perverted justice or imbalanced scales. It'll get you judged quickly. Which moves me into Ezekiel 44:9. I thought this was wild because this was something God just showed me through the word while I was doing this teaching. But it states that this is what the sovereign Lord says. No foreigner, including those who live amongst the people of Israel, will enter my sanctuary if they have not been circumcised and have not surrendered themselves to the Lord. What does this mean to you? This means to you, if you call yourself God's child and are still acting like hell, and then have the audacity to look at the speck in someone else's eye for their faults or their faults without first looking at your own, or unless you're not willing to pull the religious log jam out of your own eye first, you're a foreigner. You don't have the right to be in God's temple. And God doesn't care if you attend church every Sunday amongst his true believers of love. If you don't know the warm, unconditional love of Jesus, you don't know God. You need circumcision or deliverance from the clanging cymbal or the cold love of Jezebel that you operate in because you're giving God a bad name. And it's one thing for me to be on here telling the truth, but with God's permission, it's not your right to come in and try to shut me down or anybody else like me, a prophet like me, when God's given us permission. If you don't like the message, swipe on. We don't care. We're going to keep speaking the truth because if you're operating like this, you've already put a target on your forehead to be judged. And at least those trying to serve in the warm love of Jesus are faithful to him, even in our flaws. Even in our flaws. And I can look at myself when I wake up in the morning and look in the mirror. I wake up with a clear conscience because I'm honest with God. Hope you are. But know the difference. When the Lord says a true priest, a heart that knows love, should never defile themselves by being in the presence of a dead person or a cold heart or a vessel that does not know love, then that holy priest needs to be ritually cleansed because we become who we hang around. Meaning if you're making it a habit to hang around with dead people, dead vessels, let the dead bury the dead. If a heart that doesn't know love, doesn't know God, What are you doing in hanging out and developing relationships with dead, stony-hearted people? There's no growth there. It's not ever going to happen. Or if you feel in love because you've gotten disconnected from the truth of who love says he is, and if you're always feeling like you're walking on eggshells around people or having to be dishonest to who Christ made you to be, chances are you're having to tiptoe around the spirit of religion or someone else's convictions, which are not of God. It's okay to be. And it's okay to be who Christ says I am. With right here, right now, with where I'm at, the level of healing that I'm operating in, same with you. It's okay. So if anybody else challenges that on you, that chances are that vessel operates in Jezebel, and they have bitter roots in them, and they're operating in cold love. They're not God's child. Jezebel is the front runner for the Antichrist spirit, where Elijah is the front runner for Jesus Christ. He's like John the Baptist, that bold truth, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we're not afraid of what it cost us. And we're going to keep preaching the word with bells on. I'll love you while I'm doing it. I don't mean that arrogantly either. I'm just flowing. But God is saying, we need to walk our walk and allow others to walk theirs. You are not their God, nor are they your child. Unless you've given birth or are their mentor or church leader, you don't have a right to speak into that life. You don't have a right to correct. We don't have a right to give any type of input into that person's life if God has not called us to speak. We only say what we hear our Father saying in this hour. Which brings me to 1 Peter 1:1-12, where it talks about being chosen to walk in the gray. But who are we to judge, right? Have you ever met somebody who walks in the gray? Peter was one of the first people that was actually like this. And I love Peter. I absolutely love his walk. I actually love Paul as well because they bring balance. Like Paul upheld the standard. He represented the standard in the law. And he knew it inside and out. Where Peter was more in grace. He walked in the grace. But he knew how to tell the truth. He'd cut your ear off in a second with the truth. But he also knew how to stand upon the rock of grace. And God said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But Peter was the first to take the gospel to the Gentiles, but he was also called to bring the good news to the Jews. And I can relate with him because he walked a fine line. A line that the church might deem as ungodly or questionable. Have you ever had people question your walk or tell you, I don't know if that's God, Missy. I don't know if that's God, so-and-so. When you know darn well God told you to do something. A lot of the prophets went through that too. God would have them do crazy things like lay on their side naked in the street square, all these crazy things. But Peter was called to go and walk in places that were deemed possibly not of God, to help yank people back across the line of right and wrong, back into love and grace, love and truth. And he ministered to five people groups that had been scattered, where the Apostle Paul had originally tried to minister to them, but he couldn't get in. I think maybe because he was maybe the wrong candidate for the job, to be honest with you. Paul was considered detail-oriented, law-minded. He lived by the book. Where Peter, to me, would just honestly, I would think Peter would just like wing it. And Peter just trusted and followed the Lord into various people groups that the regular church would ever try to reach. Is that like you? Are you afraid to minister to certain people groups? Because I know like from my life, thank you, Holy Spirit. I have an affinity, and I said it at the beginning, I have an affinity for the homeless. I love the homeless. I love people that are different. I love people that are eclectic. I am eclectic. I'm artistic. I was a designer at one time in the entertainment industry. And so all my life I've been eclectic, but I celebrate who Christ made me to be. And I don't ever try to make anybody fit into my mold, but I feel like I've always been non-judgmental. And I thank God for that. And I don't judge people that walk in different lifestyles. It's not my business, nor is it anybody's. I'm not walking their walk. I don't know why they got into what they got into. I'm not saying it's right necessarily, but I don't know. I haven't walked a mile in their shoes. So my job, my only job is to love people. But I have a lot of people who have questioned or been judging me for the positions that God allows me to walk in, saying, you know, why are you doing that? That's not the church. And they try to force me into these different molds within the church. And it's like, ah, get off me. Get your mold off me. Get your armor off me, Saul. I can't stand it. You walk your walk. You walk out your convictions and let me walk out mine. It's confining and it's not God. And it's stifling. But Peter, I love Peter because he just trusted and followed the Lord into these different types of people groups. And he knew what it would take to reach them. It's kind of like Barnabas. He had a lot of like Barnabas. Although to me, Barnabas was, I think maybe even Barnabas was probably better than Peter. Because Peter would be, he'd cut you to the quick if he needed to. Like he, quick to defend, quick to react, maybe not respond. He reacted to the soldier who tried to arrest Jesus and he cut his ear off. So, I mean, he had his own weaknesses, but Jesus still loved him. But he still fulfilled the Great Commission through the grace of God because he knew he was living as a sojourner in the land. He was living in a hostile world. How do you minister to the hostility in others? Can you? Do you have the grace to do that? Or are you going to try to present your apparatus of religion? Is that going to be real well received? Because the only thing I've ever seen it do is make people even angrier, even more hostile, thinking, oh, God, they're bringing in this. They're so religious. I hate the church. It's not what you're doing. Pardon me. What you've done in past seasons didn't work then, nor will it ever. You want to know why? Because the new generations that are coming forward, they want the real deal. They want to see if you're full of crap or if you're really who you say you are. They want to know that you're just as imperfect as they feel. They want to know if, because the performance orientation expectation that's operating in the world right now because of technology, because of all these things that employers have implemented on people saying you have to be this or be at this level constantly, constantly, the levels of stress in order to be accepted, which is gravitated into the family. So we have families pushing their kids to operate at higher levels in high school so they can get into the best colleges possible. It's gravitated into our entire society. Where is a place where a person can catch a break? I thought it was the church. Nope, not there either. But I tell you what, in my house, it'll be there. You can have flaws in my house. You can have flaws in this ministry. However, we do have a standard. And you do got to be willing to get free. That's the only expectation. And that's really what the expectation of Christ is at any church. There aren't any other rules. The old has been done away with. You're under grace now. Judge not, lest you be judged. And that's a simple rule to me. That's very, very simple to keep. There's no convoluted, any hidden rules. There's no fine print. It's all there in black and white for you to see for yourself. Go read it. It's in the book. Go read it. But Peter knew this. And I believe that through the warm, unconditional, non-judgmentalism of Jesus within us, we can reach a lost and dying world. Otherwise, why would they want to come in and serve the Lord? Why? To me, people that still think that the old is working, you've lost your edge. Because you refuse to change and be changed. And then you get pissed off at people like me on here who come in and tell you the truth. And you're thinking, I can't believe she said that on there. Women don't talk like that. Well, welcome to my world. I do. This is my world. I'm going to be me. Love it or leave it. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. I don't care. If this makes you angry, it's probably because God's putting his finger on something that he's been trying to get you to change for years and years. And you refuse to listen. And then you get in other people's way with your arrogance and your pride because you've made up your mind about how you think you're going to walk your walk and how it's going to happen. And God said, no, that was never my plan. You're in the plan. That's just not the whole plan. You only have a fragment of a part of the picture. But you made up your mind how you thought God was going to work. And that's not what he's doing. Doesn't mean anybody failed. It was just always the way he intended to do it. Presumption is what caused Humpty Dumpty to have a great fall. I'm not being rude by saying that. That's the only analogy that comes to mind. I'm being honest. But sincerely, presumption is pride. When we presume, my dad used to always tell me this, Missy, never assume anything. My dad was military. He'd say, break the word up. Assume. A-S-S-U-M-E. When you make an assumption, you make an ass out of you and me. Sincerely. So we're not to assume anything. And I'm kind of letting it all just hang out today, and I don't care. I'm just being myself. Because I'm so tired of the ungodly expectations of the world. You're driving people to mental illness. People like you drive people to early death assignments and to mental illness, and you drive them into suicidal tendencies when they feel like they can't ever measure up. And so now we've got it in the church, we've got it at work, we've got it at home. There's no break, no place where people catch a break. But as for me, my house, it's not going to be here. It's not. I'll fight you to the death on this. And God will back me up on it. Watch it. He's already doing it. If something's of God, you're not fighting me. You're fighting God. Acts 5:39. So these people still operating in this judgmentalism, in this arrogance, in this perfectionism, the spirit of religion, without ever seeing the damage that it causes. How do I know it? Because I've lived it. I've lived and seen the damage that it can cause people and their entire family relationships when arrogant people defend the domination. They defend their right to be religious. I'm right. Joe Super Baptist. No offense to the Baptist. I'm right. You're wrong. I know more than you. I've been raised in church. You didn't. I know your background. Who cares? We all got one. We've all got one. Really. It all gets old. And instead of defending hearts through love, which there's a huge difference, because love will make you go places you've never been before. It did for Peter. Made him walk a thin gray line. It did for me. Took me into the entertainment industry. It took me into the lives of people who operated in a lifestyle contrary to my own. It had me plant seeds. It had people question my integrity. It had me walk in places, a place called CTTC, Central Texas Treatment Center, where I walked in and out of lives through Christ on mine and talked to people who had hit rock bottom and the only way to look was up. And then because I hadn't had the same type of lifestyle as some of these people in the church. Oh, I've never been subjected to that. No, because that wasn't your walk. That wasn't ever the place God meant for you to walk. It wasn't a part of your kingdom mandate. So I'm not going to interrupt your kingdom mandate. Please don't interrupt mine. And don't judge mine. Because I'm a non-judgmental person. And I don't care if a person's in the arts. Frankly, I don't care. I'm not judging them if they're operating in homosexuality. I'm going to love them. How else are you going to reach them? And I challenge your theology, if you don't understand identity issues. But Peter warned believers of the false teachers, the people that tried to sell their wares in God's temple with their false brand of love. And it even went into false apostles, false prophets, false teachers and preachers, people who didn't want to get their hands dirty because their love was sterile. They lived out of the laws and all the rules. They had to keep all the rules, making people feel as if they made one mistake, they were condemned for life. Where's the love in that? Tell me, where's Christ in that? Where's the grace? Know the difference. Because God's grace will take us a long way through the heart of God, and it's the only way to succeed in these last days. Which brings me to Psalms 119, 17 through 32, where it talks about God's word and heart guiding us on the pathway of truth. Do you know the truth? Or are you living by your own version of it that makes you feel more comfortable? Do you make up the rules as you go along to suit yourself, suit your own evil agenda? Do you do that? I don't. It's too uncomfortable and it makes my life too complicated. God wrote it out in the book. He made it clear cut and dry, and I'm keeping it simple. If he said it, I believe it. But we need to ask God to open our eyes to the truth of his love. Because a heart that discerns truth stays on the path of righteousness, true righteousness, not my version of it. And if we live with ourselves 24/7, by the way, if you live with yourself, when you're with yourself all the time, usually we have a tendency to think we're okay. I'm okay. I'm good. No, I'm okay. I'm healthy. That realizing that all your relationships are falling apart around you. Maybe your ministry's not going as far as it should have gone. Maybe people aren't receiving from you the way they should have. Maybe your family can't stand you. I don't know. Do you operate in bitterness? Judgment? Nobody can be around you because you're just too stinking hard to get along with. Well, the flip side of that is, if you're in God's grace and you're over the target, then they can reject you because you're walking a thin line. Pardon me. But it's one thing to be biased and thinking you're okay versus what the church or the world stipulates as okay when that's not anything God ever said. It's not God's truth. Until or unless we allow others to point out our lack of love or ungodly mindsets that show us the way to all truth. But you know, the saddest thing is to me, is a religious heart and mindset. This is amazing to me. They'll defend that lie unto death for fear of being condemned by God, when all the while, God's trying to get the truth and grace to them. He's trying to get you free. He's trying to let you know it's okay to be. Flaws and all. And so many people have so much shame in just admitting flaws, admitting that they're bitter. They're angry that life didn't turn out the way that they thought it should. They're angry that dreams haven't been fulfilled. They're angry at God. And it's okay. He's a big boy. He can handle it. He can handle your disappointment. He can handle your anger. And honestly, he would rather you be honest with him than go along in life pretending like everything's okay when you're really ticked off at him. He already knows it. He knows your heart. And Jesus is trying to allow your heart to know that there's no condemnation for those who are in him. But he cannot make you drink his living water. He can set you free from the lie or those apparatuses that have imprisoned you for years. But we have to choose to walk out our freedom. We have to choose it. And then we're charged to help other people find their way out so they too can live free from the condemnation that our past have locked us up into. Isn't that why we're here? Or are you a Pharisee trying to keep him in prison because it gives you the feeling of more superiority, more power, this false sense of power over people by making other people feel less than? Because that's the only time in your life that you've ever felt like somebody was to operate over others, condemning them, keeping your finger of condemnation on them. And you know what? In my walk, the most poignant times in my life have come through change that came from truly loving vessels around me. That's when I wanted to change, when I saw the real deal. I didn't feel condemned. I didn't feel like someone was trying to destroy me because of their need to want to be me or my freedom. They want my freedom, actually. They want your freedom if you're operating in that freedom. People don't hate you. They hate God. They hate the Lord in you. They're not coming at you. They're coming at him. And God actually, the way he showed me the difference in this, he actually allowed me after my dad's death to go to church to see the truth from a lie when I'd been raised around love all my life, the warm, unconditional love of Jesus. And I knew what I was experiencing wasn't that. It was Pharisaical caging, imprisonment, always living as though they could do no wrong, yet completely living in hypocrisy as though nobody noticed. It was living double-mindedly. It wasn't God. God is consistent. He can't lie. He's the same. He's consistent before and behind the camera. He doesn't lie ever. He didn't lie to himself. He didn't lie to others. He's what you see is what you get. So instead of these vessels owning their own flaws, admitting, confessing, repenting for acting outside of God's character, they try to force everyone around themselves to live the lie with them so they won't have to change. Wrong. Because we're living in an hour where judgment is here. And unless you want to get stuck or stagnant, because many of these types are that Kurt Landry was talking about, in their attempt to pass off the lie of religion as though it's God, if you're wanting change right now, you're willing to go whatever length you need to go to get it. If it's at a healing ministry, through deliverance time, working with coaches, deliverance ministers, these are the training centers God's raising up in this hour. He's trying to get the body free. He's trying to make a way where there is no way. And by the way, some of these ministries, mine's not the only one. The reason that God has given us such strict mandates and not just to let everybody in, do you realize that if we're a front-running ministry, we would not be able to go as fast forward if we allow just everybody in? We're not a regular church. These hubs, these training centers are not like the church at all. We've been given a strict mandate to help bring the body out of the outer courts, the 12 gates, into the inner courts, into the 7 gates of the heart, like David. But they have to be willing to want to change and be changed. So God knows the end from the beginning, and he knows who's a Jezebelian eunuch. He knows who's operating in the spirit of Jezebel. He knows who's going to finish. So he's not wasting his time. That's what's so scary about this. God is not wasting his time in this hour. And he's not wasting his time on vessels who aren't serious about coming into the higher places of kingdom. He's not wasting his time. So if he's not letting you in, chances are he knows something you don't know. That's scary. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to see him. I'm knocking on his door. I want in, and I'm willing to do whatever he tells me to do to get there. I want the whole enchilada. Because there's no way we're ever going to pass off the lie of religion as though it's God. It creates a miserable vessel that reflects otherwise. And God's trying to help you step into a brand new tomorrow if we'll just let him heal our own bitterness of soul, usually caused by religion and trauma. And by the way, this freedom isn't just for the American church. It's for the Amish. It's for the Jewish or any heart that dares to step outside of its confinement. Because Jesus is freedom, not confinement. But we have to choose to live in the higher way of loving if we want to get there. And I want, as we wrap this up, I want to stress that the law was never meant to be the standard. The law was only meant to be the standard model that we were going to attempt to follow. It was never meant to be the mold for the heart trying to get free from the bloodline cursings that had created its own flaws. God knew that. So he gave us a standard. He knew we would never hit the mark completely. That's why Jesus came. If you don't know that, but we're not ever called to judge any other person, judge yourself first. That's the way we're called to live uprightly. But just because God called us to live uprightly, he also never said it would be easy. So we all know it's not a picnic to try to get free. It's not a picnic to try to come forward because of all the warfare that happens to us in our journeys of trying to get there. Which leads me to Proverbs 28:8-10 as we wrap up. We're at the top of the hour right now. Thanks for joining me. My name is Dr. Missy Hood. I'm with Ezekiel's Wheel, the 50-Minute Rev. I do these on Mondays and on Fridays to rev you up for the week and then the weekend. But thank you for joining me today. But whoever increases wealth by taking interest or the profit from the poor amasses it for another who will be kind to the poor. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Whoever leads the upright along an evil path will fall into their own trap, but the blameless will receive a good inheritance. And I hope I read that first part right. Whoever increases wealth by taking interest or profit from the poor amasses it for another who will be kind to the poor. What I think he's saying is he's trying to get us. We think there's a way. We all think that we know the way to him. We all think that we understand his heart's ways until we're challenged with new revelation and we're challenged with a new move. And it challenges every fiber of our being. Because God said, my ways aren't your ways. Just like he tells us to bless your enemies. Don't curse your enemies. Matter of fact, don't curse your enemies. You'll reap what you sow, and you don't want to get into a ping pong match going back and forth. Because what happens when you bless them is you send all their... it's not done facetiously. It's just that I would rather not curse somebody. You want to bless them with 1 Corinthians 13:13. Instead of getting into this big ping pong match with them and having it come back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Because if you bless them and eventually God judges them, he's going to judge the one who continually keeps touching the anointing with strange fire. Are you operating in strange fire? Witchcraft, like Aaron's sons did? You don't want to be doing that in this hour. This is a really serious place we're standing in. All the witchcraft that we're seeing, and it's all ratcheting up right now. It's all like you can feel it in the atmosphere, and it's stressful. It's very stressful. It's serious because judgment's at the door. That's judgment. That's the pressure of God. It's what is causing all the ratcheting up. Because wherever God shows up, the enemy manifests more. He can't help it. That's what the pressure in the presence of God does. And the more of God you house on your vessel, if you're getting those types of reactions from vessels around you, chances are you house a whole lot of the presence of God. That's what's happened to me all my life. I can't just go everywhere. I go with a team, and I go with friends, because people act crazy in this day and time. They can't stand the presence or the presence of God. But anyway, I hope you're encouraged today, guys. Thank you for joining me. I do these on Mondays and Fridays to try to let you know what's going on in the week as we move through the parts of God's heart. C1, C2, C3, C4. We're now in C4. There's a lot of angelic activity right now. So if you're getting a lot of revelation, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I always tell our team people, our teammates, to keep pads of paper and pens beside their bed so that they can track prophetically what God is saying for this season. And then we implement it as we move and get ready for 2022. But we're getting ready to start the process all over again. We've got another month until that starts. But if you think you've seen angelic movement, wait until next month. You haven't seen anything yet. So November, December are the best times of the year. But this is the only rev I'm doing this week. I'll be doing my next one on the following Monday, because this week is Thanksgiving. But I hope you guys have a great weekend. Know that I love you, and I look forward to seeing you after the Thanksgiving holidays. But be blessed, guys. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.